organizers in the state and in the country. I refer to Christine Newman Ortiz, the founding executive director of Voice of the Local Charity Town in Milwaukee. She also serves on the board of the National Coalition of the Fair Immigration Reform Movement. She was named last year by the Huffington Post as one of the 50 young progressive activists for changing America. She was also named for her organization, Voice of La Frontera, named most valuable grassroots organization in the U.S. by The Nation magazine. I think John Nichols might have something to do with that. She's played a leading role in the Palermo Pizza strike, and she was arrested in Washington, D.C. on August 1st with other national leaders of the immigration reform movement, exercising civil disobedience of all places, Independence Avenue. So I will give you no further ado.
So it's I'm really happy to be here with all of you at this great event, and it's really fantastic how it's continued to grow over the years. I just want to recognize two folks with me who are also from Voces de la Frontera. If you could please stand up real quick. As Matt had mentioned in the introduction, on August 1st, I was arrested with 40 other organizational leaders from around the country. And the reason that we were arrested was to protest the lack of action on the part of Congress in passing a federal immigration reform bill with a path to citizenship, and as well as a call to action nationally, kicking off 40 days of action. And this arrest was really symbolic for me. I reflected on it and thought about people I know who have been wrongfully arrested and have either been deported or are facing deportation and separation from their families. One person in particular that stands out is Omar Damian Ortega, who has a pending deportation case. He was a deacon of his church, has a U.S. citizen children, U.S. citizen sister, and his deportation was triggered by when he filed a workers' compensation claim after injuring his back on the job. Should I stand? Oh, is that better? Wow, look at me. And I'm wearing heels. No. But getting back to serious matters. So Omar's case, deportation case, was triggered when he filed a workers' comp claim after injuring his back on the job. He had worked for this company as a welder for 10 years. It's a Grafton-based company. And the insurance company, West Bend Mutual Insurance, which we all may be familiar with, was happy to collect his premium for 10 years without questioning his immigration status. It was only when he filed this premium with the support of his doctor that the insurance company decided they cared about his immigration status and contacted local law enforcement and immigration officials, resulting in his arrest and incarceration for several months, passing Christmas and New Year's away from his family and only seeing his children through a glass window. During these 40 days of action, there have been hundreds of events across the country that have demonstrated both the clear irrelevance of the anti-immigrant opposition and the breadth and growth of the immigrant rights movement from a very broad sector. There have been growing acts of civil disobedience to protest the systematic and ongoing separation of immigrant families as legislation fails to move forward. In Wisconsin, there was a License to Dream tour held in 12 cities that is going to end tomorrow in Congressman Ryan's district in Racine. And as folks, very fitting, and as folks from the Badger State, we are really being asked to put pressure on Congressman Ryan to take a stronger public and private role within the party to get a legalization bill introduced in the House. The fight for immigration reform is truly at a crossroads. We need to continue to put pressure on House Republican leadership to introduce a bill that provides legalization with a path to citizenship. If a vote were to be taken now in the House, it would pass by a majority of Republicans and Democrats, but it's just not being introduced. Under pressure from extremists within the party, Republican Speaker of the House Boehner has been blocking the possibility of a vote by insisting on a GOP rule that requires support of a majority of Republicans in the House before considering a bill by the House of Representatives. Part of the reason that there is such intransigence in the House is the result of political gerrymandering. Unlike the growing multi-ethnic diversity of this nation, on the contrary, Republican districts, through gerrymandering, have become predominantly white and very conservative, such as Congressman Sensenbrenner's district. This is, in essence, political corruption, because while gerrymandering can secure that a politician can get reelected, they are undermining the democratic process and the ability of diverse voters to hold them accountable. And of course, good old-fashioned racism and xenophobia, exemplified by Congressman King, who has repeatedly referred to immigrants as animals and recently created a national scandal by equating immigrant youth who aspire to higher education, known as dreamers, as drug mules, or our own state representative, Andre Jacques, who wants to make English the official language of Wisconsin. There's been lots of funny jokes made about his own name. There's also the question, and this is the fundamental question, about the kind of immigration reform that we need. This is what the fight is really about. The business sector has long desired a massive guest worker program that would create a super exploitable temporary workforce that, though they have legal status, would have even less rights than the undocumented. Under guest worker programs, the employer has even more power over the worker because the employer can not only fire you, but they can also deport you. They hold your visa and other identity documents in their hands, and abuse is chronic. Guest workers have organized to address what is in essence legal trafficking between governments, replete with abuse, ranging from agricultural workers to Katrina construction workers to teachers from the Philippines. The most important elements that immigrant rights advocates are looking for in a bill is legalization with a path to citizenship. And the question, why? Full citizenship rights has defined equality in the United States. One of the reasons that we have an economy built on cheap labor has been both the economic and the political disenfranchisement of a section of workers so that they have less power to hold elected officials accountable and to challenge unjust laws. That is why U.S. citizens, yourselves, with voting rights, are such an important voice in the fight for immigration reform. The second, strong worker rights protections regardless of immigration status. The Senate bill would overturn the Supreme Court Hoffman decision, which says that an employer that has violated a worker's rights, such as the right to organize, has no obligation to pay a worker's back wages if the worker is found to be undocumented. These types of laws, on the contrary, incentivize the abuse of immigrant workers and undermine the ability of workers collectively to raise wages and address working conditions in the workplace. The labor struggle at Palermo has been a national example for immigration reform that includes strong labor law protections. While 10 workers were offered reinstatement and back pay, the majority were not. The company gained the system, exploiting immigrant labor and then getting off the hook when they used our broken immigration laws and weak labor laws to fire and retaliate against both immigrant and non-immigrant workers who were addressing sweatshop conditions. Third, a working legal system. Wouldn't that be nice? Another component in the Senate bill is the expansion of visas for workers and families. This is what is fundamentally wrong with our current system. It is dysfunctional because there are too low levels of visas for the reality of the workforce or the pending family visa system. just to give you an example, Maria, who's one of our members, has been waiting for her visa petition from her sister for 18 years to arrive. In that time, she and her husband, because they're both petitioned together, are at risk of deportation. She has her family who are U.S. citizens and has been contributing to this country, all of them. An end to the criminalization of immigrants and unjust deportations. Programs such as the so-called secure communities have contributed to increased racial profiling, increased numbers of people who have no criminal record, who have been channeled into the jails and detention centers, fueled by the growth of the prison industrial complex. For-profit prisons like Corrections Corporation of America, as well as military contractors, stand to benefit from increased border militarization. The fight for immigration reform is fundamentally a fight about rights on the job. It is about eliminating the threat of retaliation for reporting abuse, stolen wages, and dangerous working conditions. It's about the right to organize with others to address these conditions. It's also about challenging the ideas of a corporate elite that try to pit workers against each other by blaming them for economic problems that they themselves created through offshoring of jobs to make more money, lobbying to keep the minimum wage low, deregulating the financial sector, leading to an economic crisis that resulted in 8 million people losing their jobs in the Great Recession, of which working people have not yet recovered. On the contrary, we should be thanking immigrants for their economic contributions. Immigration has raised wages and immigration reform can raise wages and spur economic growth. Research from the Center of American Progress shows that undocumented immigrants' earnings will increase 15% over 5 years, even after they receive legal status, and an additional amount over 5 years when they acquire citizenship. And this is because with legal status and citizenship, immigrants are able to fully participate in the labor force, receive full protections, and find jobs that best match their skills. 70% of our economy is based on consumption. The more money working people have in their pockets, the better for the economy. If legalization were to pass tomorrow, I can tell you that undocumented immigrants would buy more homes, would buy a car, would buy a driver's license, would buy auto insurance, would invest in their education because they had more security. They would open more small businesses. Bringing folks into a formal economy means that both workers and employers will be contributing greater amounts to our tax base and supporting critical public services that are right now being cut. In addition, immigrants represent key sectors of the economy, especially in agriculture. Here in Wisconsin, many of you know, but 40% of our dairy industry is immigrant, and 1 in 10 jobs is linked to that state industry. One young man who is a dairy worker in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, is facing deportation for basically being pulled over for driving while brown. He was consequently then charged for driving without a license. His wife and family all live here and are connected to the dairy industry. On May 1st, at the rally, he asked the crowd, "How is it fair that I am treated this way after I have worked for the last 5 years, 365 days a week, from sunrise to sunset?" Republican Party leadership and members of the Congress that have their sights on national elections have to understand that they cannot get away with simply saying, "I tried," and political posturing for the next election. Nearly 71% of Latino voters voted for President Obama in the wake of the passage of deferred action, which granted legal status to immigrant youth, due to the community pressure before the elections. But if we don't get congressional action, then we demand executive administrative relief for 11 million under a Democratic administration that sadly has separated more families through deportation than any other. Unlike congressional representatives, our movement is not cynically driven by legislative or electoral agenda. It's not going to go away or step aside while other issues are debated. It is fundamental, and people are fed up. It is measured by an affirmation of our human dignity under inhumane laws, and the majority of the people, I am proud to say, stand with us. This last Labor Day in Milwaukee was personally a very moving experience for me and many others, because it represented the new labor movement, linking the struggles of striking low-wage workers marching for a living wage, with immigrant workers marching for immigration reform, and union members marching to defend collective bargaining rights. At a time when there is a greater concentration of money in fewer hands, escalated attacks on labor rights, civil rights, and voting rights, we are sending a message that we will not be divided, that we demand action from our government to respond to this crisis of unemployment, low wages, to pass immigration reform, and to defend access to quality education and health care, not as a privilege, but as a fundamental right. Si se puede.
Well, she stands tall without that little pedestal here. What a wonderful way to really get started. Thank you very much.